that bitterness.
Oh, hello. I didn't say that.
Okay.
No, we're just going to...
Is there bitterness?
I didn't say anything. I don't know nothing about nothing. I meant, with Scotty. And also the drinking. Okay. It's 1 minute and 13 seconds after the hour of 11. I can already feel it's a giggly the thing going on today. Where everything is hilarious.
Oh, God. All right.
I do see now why sometimes Aaron, the geek, chooses not to go to those Dante's events. We love Dante's. It's a great place. But it was even a no smoking night last night, I think, unless you were sitting at our table, in which I think there's a photograph taken last night.
Let me just say this: very rarely do I come away from any of these events, and it wasn't even our event last night. It was Storms. We were just sort of there.
But very rarely do I ever come out of there feeling as though I've been at one of those happenings that they then put, like, if you're like me, a lot of guys, you grew up reading Playboy magazine, and they'll do that inside.
That was fun. It was a fun party.
It was a good night last night, and I hate people.
It's just because you got groped by men and women alike.
I don't know anything about that.
I know you and Byron had some special moments together.
Why don't you be quiet about me and Byron? What happens between Byron and I stays between them. No, but seriously. Is everybody else hearing a weird high-pitched whine today?
Oh,
no. It's gone. Okay. Wait, no, it's still there. Well, I'll just learn. It's what the world sounds like to Pete Townsend.
We should ask Scotty J if he hears it.
I don't think he can hear anything above the stampeding sound of pink elephants.
Oh, Scotty J.
Running around his head. What was I saying? Oh, but when you read Playboy magazine as a younger man, I don't know if they still do this. I still get Playboy, but I just subscribed out of a sense of obligation because they were selling it for crippled children. And so I was, fine, Playboy, and I get it, and I read the interview, and then I look at the centerfold, and that's about it. I don't even look at the rest of the, whatever they're called, pictorials or photo things. I just look at the centerfold so I can feel old, because they're all like 19. And by the way, when I am now 33, we are now entering that terrible, hideous zone. Not technically, I don't think I'm middle-aged yet. I think middle-age is what, like 50 or 45 or something? But I'm entering that zone where the Playmate of the Month, the Centerfold and Playboy is actually young enough that she could be my daughter. Which is not sexy in any way. I don't care what anybody tells you. There's nothing alluring about that at all. It's just sad. But they do those pages on the inside, the first couple pages of Playboy magazine, and it's the black and white, it's like, what's happening at the mansion? And then it's a lot of like, here's what happened at our recent spate of exciting Playboy mansion parties. And it's like half in his pajamas, like getting his photo taken, you know, with like Corbin Burnson or somebody. Last night kind of feels like one of those nights. It kind of did at the time, too. Anyways, I think there's a photo somewhere, probably a couple, of Sarah, Delaine, and Kiki, and I think that's it, all smoking directly in front of a sign that says no smoking allowed.
That's on these premises. I did not see that sign. And nobody pointed out the sign to me until we had been there for 3 hours.
You're like half a pack and a half into your cigarettes.
If the bartenders are lighting your cigarettes, I think that it means that it's okay to smoke. I didn't know that you weren't supposed to.
It doesn't matter to me, sister. I don't care. I don't smoke, and... You know, I don't plan to be a smoker, but when you go to a when you go to a bar, you are a smoker. I say to you now, ich bin ein Smoker. When you go to one of those places, you are a donut. And also a smoker. Yeah, I'm going to have to really keep a tight leash on myself today. I can already feel I can feel myself getting dangerously off track. All right. All I have to say to you, my friends, is Nicky Snacky. Wacky Cracky. I haven't even done the intro. God damn. It's 5 minutes and 15 seconds after the hour. Oh, this is going to go well. Five minutes and 15 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of September, the year of our Lord, 2006. Yeah. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, not really off the Fisher Studios of AM 970, Solid States Radio. This is a Rick Emerson radio program. It is Thursday, and welcome to day 12. Thank you for coming along. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, where the corn is as high as another thing of relative height. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 970. You can also email if you like, if you'd like to engage with us electronically. It is Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. I'm sorry. I came in this morning and Scotty. Here's the thing about Scotty J. Is that.
He drinks alone?
He drinks alone with nobody else.
Oh, Scotty J. I just want to give him a big hug sometimes.
I think he'd prefer some booze.
Be nice. There's obviously a reason why he's drinking so much.
Yes.
And stays after everyone leaves. Alone.
Oh, that's hilarious. Drinking habits are hilarious. Now, here's the thing is that you guys, you actually called it a night relatively early.
No, we went out a little bit longer and then ate a bunch of pizza.
But I mean at Dante's, though.
Yeah, because I'd been there for 4 hours. I was ready to go.
It was around 10 o'clock or so, and Storm was doing a Q&A, and I'm not complaining. It was very cool, but it was going on. It was kind of a long Q&A where she was answering questions for the audience. At a certain point, you all packed in, and you guys were like, we're out of here.
Before all the madness ensued.
That's the thing. Before everybody just... Because once she wrapped it up, it was just chaos again. And so you left, and then I left about half an hour later. I kind of said my goodbyes and took off. And then people had started to filter over to, what is that, a smaller side room where the video poker is, because they were doing an autograph line, and she was taking photos of people. Very cool. So that main Dante's room... was sort of emptying out because people were all moving over to the side. And so the last thing I remember seeing, turning over and looking over my shoulder as I left, just Scotty J sitting alone at a table drinking by himself in the middle of Dante.
Was somebody playing the saxophone?
Seriously. And a bartender with his sleeves rolled up going, you want another one, Mac?
I have the greatest picture of you and Scotty J that I'm going to put on my website.
Dame Trouble? What?
So I know you're going to post that one of me, so...
Oh, I got the best photo ever taken of you. I think I might hold it for... And that's the second photograph I've got now of you that I can file away.
What's the first?
I got that one you last night where you looked like... What's the word? Remember there was that photo of Tara Reid where she looked all enfeebled? Kind of like that. And then there's that one where it's as though you're in a hot dog eating contest, but there's no hot dog. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah.
It's
like
microphone.
You're holding a microphone to sing, but there's no microphone.
There was a microphone.
Well, not once Photoshop. I can't tell me. It's good time.
Oh, you're going down.
These all though, pale compared to the best photograph of Scotty J that's ever been sent. It's ever been seen
by
anybody.
Was it from one of his mean friends again?
Well, who knows? It's from some guy. Whether or not he's one of Scotty, that is for Scotty to determine. Okay.
We're just kicking him when he's down.
What do we do in this part of the show? What do I do here? Oh, hello.
Mel and Chris.
Here's what we're going to be doing. Best show ever. Here's what we're going to be doing. Let me find the sounder. Let's see. What's welcome, mailman, Chris. If you can drop the mono bed for a second, we'll play the...
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
That seems very loud today. Hello, mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Hey.
How are you doing?
You sound like I feel.
Yeah, you sound... That mail's going to be delivered with all kinds of speed today.
Yeah, well, I'm actually ahead so far, but that's because I'm well visonated.
It is a visa, through Viso and Jesus, all things are possible. Yeah. And by the way, your entourage continues to grow. We were at Dante's last night, and there was, that guy, Andy, who made all kinds of... You left before Storm broke that guy's eyeglasses.
Oh,
and,
was that the guy who was heckling?
That guy, Andy?
Oh, he seemed nice, the guy who was in, like, the suit jacket?
He was very nice, and then he began to drink heavily. He wasn't heckling so much. He wasn't heckling. I want to be very clear about that. He wasn't heckling Storm. Because look, I tell you this. I've seen Storm get heckled, and you don't want to be that guy. You don't want. You know that's one woman you don't want to heckle. She'll kill you. He wasn't heckling so much as he was trying to be Mr. Helper. Because you know that thing when everybody drinks, they become the funniest guy in the room. No one has the wit that they have. No one is as amusing as the guy who's been drinking all night. He has wit that everyone needs to hear. And so Storm was kind of up doing her thing. And he kept, again, not heckling, but sort of throwing out these comments that I think he thought they were hilarious. And, you know, and after a while, they were all about me for some reason. And they were all about me and my relative lack of hair. Well, you heard some of them. When she was reading the Q&A, and she would be like... You know, Storm had everybody kind of written down their questions just for the sake of order and turned them. And she was reading questions off these sort of index cards on the stage and then was answering questions about Rockstar Supernova. And there was one point where she says, you know, I can't make out what this card says. And, like, from the back of the room, Andy's like, it says Rick's bald.
Ah! Oh.
You know?
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
And he, had I left?
No, you were there. You were just otherwise distracted, I
okay.
think.
Okay.
And so he, that went on all night. I mean, for like 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, where it's like he was just sort of shouting these witticisms from the back. Well, I mean, I don't really care. It wouldn't make fun of me. It doesn't matter to me. But he was.
So you're going
to
have hair in a month.
It's right in your face.
He'll be like that forever.
That's what I'm talking about. He wasn't heckling, but he was trying to like add his two comedic cents to everything. And Storm, after a while, was going to get him. And she finally just called. She's like, get up on the stage now. Get here now. And she brought him on stage, and she Indian wrestled him. And I think she injured him, and I'm pretty sure she broke his glasses, too. He did have it coming, though. So, well, we're so off.
You have a girl who beats up guys for you.
It was pretty great, actually. No, it was a good, I felt like Encyclopedia Brown for a moment. You know, where Sally's beating up Bugs Meany. There you go. There's your pop culture reference for the day. Ka-ching!
And I got to say, you're lucky that Storm was on your side, because that place had it in for you with the push-up.
Oh, dude.
Even me,
what the hell is that about? Every third question that she read off an index card was like, you know, Storm, I am a big fan. Can you please tell us about the best untelevised moment from Rockstar Supernova? Also, can Rick do some push-ups while you're sitting on his back and riding him like a pony? Thank you. You know, every question had something to do with me. Sons of bitches. All right. Well, here's what we're going to get to today. Oh, anyway, but the point is that Andy's a big fan of yours, Chris, so have fun with that.
And I had a chance to meet Dan from New Zealand last
night. Dan from New Zealand, who is headed back to New Zealand.
Headed back to New Zealand.
He's moving back, but he's going to be listening on the internet, so he will be with us always. All right. So here's what we're going to get to today. I got the best photograph of Scotty J. It's the best one ever. Lisa Goddard is going to join us. We got the Jim Roop later on. Do you remember that thing they did in the John Mark Carr case? I don't want to sit and talk about the JonBenet Ramsey thing for it, because it's kind of in the past. But you know how he confessed to the JonBenet, you know, I killed JonBenet, and then later, like, no. And then they're going to put him in jail because they found all of this porn on his laptop. They've now lost the laptop, of course.
Are you kidding?
I shouldn't laugh because it's horrible. But So there's a laptop filled with child pornography just floating around L.A. If you've seen it, please to be sending it to the cops. So there's that. What else? Gary Baumgartner is going to talk about Hugo Chavez, who is everybody's new favorite person. That guy's the belle of the ball, man. His 15 minutes begin at now. And we'll have classic Tim Riley sound today. Plus, what watches have we today, Tim Riley?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because we have Hannibal, Brittany, Whitney, and Whitney 2. We have two Whitney watches.
Two Whitney watches, Brittany watch, and a Cannibal watch.
That's correct.
Fantastic. All right, there you go. That's it. I'm aiming low today, Chris.
Well, I was also going to ask, are we going to get the Portland premiere of the Weird Al song yet?
I'm pretty sure the Portland premiere happened on, like, three other stations over the last couple days.
Okay, how about the Rick Emerson premiere?
Yeah. I'll play it. We'll play it. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that, sir, even if it's not true.
I haven't heard it.
No, I like, thank you. I'm just, and everybody,
I haven't heard it.
Let's all keep up that charade that no one has ever listened to another radio station but this one. Well, you don't hear it, maybe you can't hear it anywhere.
I think that may be true for a good segment of the audience.
God bless them. God bless them.
Many of us who work in this room.
It's true. we will play that today. It's called White and Nerdy. We'll play that today, the new Weird Al single. It's very much like an All About the Pentium single. It's a great song, so we'll play that.
Excellent. So
all right, there
Scotty J photo.
Yeah.
He's got a Jim Roop, Gary Baumgarten, classic Tim Riley sound, a double Whitney watch, a Britney watch, a Campbell watch, and the Weird Al song.
Indeed. All right, there you go. By the way, Susan Reynolds, who's the marketing director for CBS Radio Portland, this is her question, not mine. She asked me this in a meeting this morning. She said, about that mailman, Chris, I always hear him calling in with a really encyclopedic knowledge of the show. Does he find time to deliver mail? So she suspects that she questions whether or not you can be keeping an accurate tally of what's going on in the show and also delivering the post.
829 stops a day, my friend.
I'm not questioning you. I'm just saying that was Susan's question. All right, there you go. We will check in with you later on in the show, my friend.
61 push-ups as of right now.
I can't hear you. Okay, there you go. That's Chris, ladies and gentlemen, mailman Chris. What are you doing with that? See, why is there gonna be that photo you post? Well, he looks worse than I do anyway. Scotty's mouth is huge. In that photo.
Yeah, because if you substitute a hot dog for my microphone, I can think of many things to put on this picture.
Is that last call by any chance?
Yeah, seriously. Scotty looks like
into like two or three whiskeys.
Scotty looks like he's unhinging his jaw to eat like like an elk.
I just picture him screaming, I'm not gay.
Okay. Well, all right. We're here with Sarah Dillon.
Hello.
Hi. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
Well, the president said he would have no problem sending troops into Pakistan to hunt down Osama. Not so fast for the Pakistanis. Torture in Iraq is now worse than when Saddam ruled, claims the U.N.'s torture department.
The U.S. had a job there.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it? The U.S. House approves strip searches for school kids. And an Idaho woman bails her boyfriend out of an Olympia jail with a forged check.
Okay, there you go. That's Idaho for you. All right. Let's see. No, I wasn't glossing over you, but I wanted to get to Tim because you and I have just been sitting and doing... We've been doing this section here, which is, what happened last night? We've been doing that for like the last 12 minutes. Oh, is it Andy, the guy with the glasses? All right, well, we'll get to him in a second.
He seems like a really nice gentleman. Sometimes alcohol... It's a demon.
Here's the thing about alcohol is when someone drinks, you see, this is the thing. People say, well, I become someone else when I drink. That's not true. It's that you are someone else during the day when you are not drinking. When you are drinking, that's who you really are. No, it's true. That's how we know that Sarah Dillon has a heart of gold. It's because she wants to hug everybody. And it doesn't take a lot either. No, whenever, I have this whole theory that the music you like when you're drunk is the music you really secretly like, period. Because being, like, for instance, I think being drunk removes your irony gene. And so the stuff you do when you're drunk, like, when you're, I've told the story when I was, Scotty's typing on the screen, I hate alcohol. I hate it so much. Yes, but it loves you. It won't leave you alone. When I was staying at that hotel in San Diego on the beach, and it's just those guys, just these idiot drunkards on the beach, building a bonfire, it's just drunk as hell, dancing around the bonfire at 2 in the morning, screaming to that Party Hard song by Andrew W.K. over and over for like 90 minutes. That's the thing is, what are you doing with that over there?
What?
Are you just isolating certain are you morphing my mouth onto Scotty's head or something?
No, I'm giving you guys speech bubbles.
Oh, I see. This is a caption. What
is
Rick
this
and Scotty
sort of
are...
sing-along?
Yes. Follow the bouncing ball. Okay. Well, anyway, I did make copious notes, by the way, last night at Dante's. Would you like to hear a sample note?
Yeah.
Here's a sample thing that was said aloud at Dante's last night by someone. See how many of these you can remember, Sarah Dillon.
Oh, come on. I had like two drinks. No. I wasn't Scotty J. standard.
You weren't drinking alone at the table. In the middle. Sadly, after everyone has gone home, just sort of slumped forward, waiting for the guy to put, one for the road on the jukebox. We've got this. Sarah Dillon, who said this last night? In fact, you know what? Even if you know Sarah, don't reveal it. We'll see if somebody can guess this. This is what somebody said at Dante's last night. Quote, do you want me to play daddy for you? End quote. I remember that. There
I
you
remember
go.
That, too.
Oh, yeah. Good times. Let's see. Let's talk to Andy. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, how you feeling today?
Sadly, I was not that intoxicated, if you can believe that.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Yeah. You just decided to heckle a 6-foot-tall Amazon woman on stage for no real reason.
You know what, though? I got to say, she tweaked my knee in a very good way, because, I mean, I've never had pain that felt that good.
No, she brought you up and said she had you lay on your back, and then you did this Indian wrestling thing, which I've never seen done, where it's like you lay down and then you link legs, and then she flipped you over and then straddled your chest at one point and was hitting you. All I remember is that she had you on your back. She was, and I realize this sounds like an inviting position for many men, but it did look a little scary that Storm had you on your back on stage, was straddling you as though she was giving you CPR with her buttocks, and then was hitting you in the face with a bunch of roses.
Only once.
And then broke your glasses and sent you off stage.
Yeah. She gave me the rose, by the way.
Yeah, okay. So
and,
there you go.
Hey, I had to call to defend myself to Sarah. Sarah, I'm a sweetheart.
That's what I said.
I didn't say he was a bad guy.
No,
I didn't say he was
either.
Heckling.
I'm saying that you
were chiming in a lot comedically.
I do tend to get a little lippy when I...
Yeah, yeah. It was
kind of that way sober, too, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you were sort of like that guy in the orchestra pit that cues the actors on stage when they've forgotten their lines, except you weren't an actor, you weren't in the orchestra pit, and no one had forgotten any lines. And you were shouting them for the back of the room drunkenly.
Nobody really appreciated it.
That's the trend, yes, and also no one left. So... No, it was funny, though. No, you're not... I mean, I'm just saying that I...
Son of a bitch.
Who was it that was telling me that he saw... It was Marty, actually. Our good friend Marty was telling us that he saw Storm when she used to be at that, whatever is that, the rat and vampire, whatever the hell that bar is that she used to be in San Francisco, where a guy heckled her, and she hit him on the forehead with a beer bottle and knocked him out cold on the stage. So I'm just saying, I've just heard enough stories about Storm that I would never screw with that woman. No way.
I'm hoping it was good-natured fun and that she really didn't want to kill me.
I think she appreciates the chance to beat a guy up, so I think that goes a long way, sir.
And anytime she wants to do it, I'll be there.
Okay. I'm sure I'll be sure to pass that along to her boyfriend. Thank you.
See you.
All right, there you go. Let's see here. Let's talk to Willie. Willie, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
What's up, Willie?
Sarah does, in fact, have a heart of gold when she's been drinking. At your listener party.
Yes, aren't you?
When she was drinking her vodka tonic with 19 different wines.
Yes.
She was very nice to me and very friendly. So.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. But the lotion. All right. Willie, thank you so much, sir.
Absolutely.
All right, there you go. God bless you, Willie. You're doing the Lord's work out there. Okay, there you go. What is the cat? I don't like you at all. Are you good? Is that on your site or
no,
is that?
No, not yet.
Okay, thank you.
I can't picture what I want you to say.
Okay, remind me. Don't let me forget to show you this picture of Scotty J.
Okay,
it's fantastic.
All right.
Here's the thing, and I told him about this photograph that I had of it. Well, I'll wait.
His friends are so mean. They're the ones who sent in that picture of him in his underwear.
Look, he's having to scream. Please don't. Please, please, please. All right. Okay, it's 503-733-2970. Should we just break here?
Might as well.
Do we have, what is it, bottom of the hour, Lisa Goddard? What are we even talking? Oh, it's because they're doing this thing. We're going to talk to Lisa Goddard here in a few minutes. This house, that's one of those things I just don't know how to feel about it. That thing about where they're asking people for photo ID before they're allowed to vote, which seems reasonable enough to me, but everybody's going all mental about it. So, anyway, we got that. We'll talk about the Hugo Chavez. Let's see, what else? Oh, and yes, laptop that they've lost in Los Angeles. All right. And they're going to be strip-searching students everywhere. There you go. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rick Emerson Show begins for real around the corner. You stay right there. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio. Nothing says,
over the line.
Nothing says wit like a huge cartoon penis. Yours is a subtle humor, sir. It's 503-733.
I can't believe you want to limit me creatively.
I'm not telling you not to do it. You ask my opinion.
I know.
All right.
It's not your opinion. You don't want me to do it, so I won't.
I'm just saying. You do that, I'll give you a beer show on the weekend. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. I'm just trying to think of the phrase he used this morning when I came in. We got Lisa Goddard from CNN coming up here in a few, by the way. But
the one about being somebody's daddy?
No. Now you've given it away. Yeah. And here's the thing. I don't even know.
I think it works more with the people if they know that it came out of his mouth.
And what... Who did he say it to last night?
He said it to me.
Oh, I thought it was to Delaine.
No, because we were talking about how much older he was than me and how he could be my daddy. I wasn't saying this. This is what Scotty was saying.
I wrote down the actual quote. Let's see what it was. I made many notes last night. Here's the thing about having the Motorola Q or any similar device is you can just transcribe everything as it happens. Wait, hold on. I have a bunch of notes. This is things that people said last night at Dante. Yes, here we go. Note to self, 8:47 p.m., Dante. So we'll go through all of these later. 8:47 p.m., quote, and it was the creepy, it was like the low sex voice, where it's like I've talked about, Clyde will do this. Like back when Clyde used to be a call screener, it's like he would answer the phone, Rick Emerson Show, and then you could tell if it was a guy. It was like, Rick Emerson Show, what's your name? All right, Steve? Okay, what are you calling about, Steve? But if it was a woman, it would be like, Rick Emerson Show. Hello. What's your name? Sally. Hey, Sally. What part of town are you calling from? And that was the kind of tone of voice that Scotty was using last night. Quote, do you want me to play daddy for you? And it was one... it was obviously one of those things. And here's the thing about that. When a guy, let's say Scotty... And where was Mrs. J last night?
Oh, no.
No, but when a guy, let's say Scotty, he's saying, do you want me to play daddy for you? When that comes out of his head, when he out of his mouth when he's been drinking, the best, and by best I mean horrifying, the best part about that is that, again, I don't believe, I'm not a proponent of the, I believe if the drinking makes you somebody else. I think drinking just sort of, you know, filter open. So you know that sort of thing is just swimming around in his head all the time. That kind of thought is always, but normally.
Oh, you should give him a break.
This is my opinion only. I thought he was saying it to Delane, and there was a whole bunch of, last night was really goddamn weird now that I'm thinking about it, because he's sitting, Scotty J is sitting next to you asking, do you want me to play daddy for you? While Delane is like fascinated, but Delane is actually, she has her fingers and she's actually poking at my teeth at one point, and she's going, you have fantastic teeth. She's like tapping me on the. Dude, this is Delane last night. This is your friend Delane. Delane, where's your husband live now?
He's in Wenatchee.
Okay, good.
So
this is Delane last night. Delane, Rick, you have. Read into this statement whatever you'd like. Rick, you have fantastic canines. Which she said to me repeatedly. I mean, I'm saying like 4, 5, 6 times over the course of like an hour. Often while actually. Because I would be sort of. Smiling or engaging in witty banter, as is my wont, and she would just sort of lean in with her finger, like, and just tap on my teeth with her fingertip.
Well, her husband is a dentist.
Yeah.
All right.
He said that it's. She told me it was really distracting because they'll. I shouldn't say this. Because.
Well, are you saying that Delane was hitting on you?
No, I'm not. No. Okay. I'm not saying that. No.
Good.
No way. No, because that would never happen. A, and B. Well, I mean, if it happened, I would certainly tell you about it because it would be fantastic because, you know, because your friends, you know, your friends are sort of this, Andy himself in a pre-drunk state last night, Andy did come up and he's like, you're really right, Sarah doesn't, all of Sarah's friends are hot. And then he just sort of like lurched off to the bar. So I'd be the first to tell you if like one of your hot friends was hitting on me, but it wasn't the case. She was telling me that her husband, who is a dentist, that actually, I don't believe it's actually during the, I think it's during the special hug. But she said that, like, sometimes they will be talking and they'll be having dinner or whatever. And she'll have to, like, wave her hand because he just stares intently at her teeth all the time. All right, let's see. So I've got Rick. This email says, I was watching a clip of on YouTube of Storm singing at Dante's. And some guy's cell phone suddenly goes off. The guy picks it up and starts talking. Storm suddenly stopped singing and made the guy give her his cell phone. She actually does a variation on this last night with Andy. She then proceeded to call a friend in New York from the stage. It was genius and frightening, but mostly genius. Let's see. Also this. This is for Aaron. Rick, please ask Sarah why she gets all kind of... Oh, I can't even talk today. I sound like I'm the one sitting drinking last night. Rick, please to ask Sarah why she gets all kinds of gropey after a couple of... This is from Aaron. I'm not saying a damn thing.
He's just paying me back for the hair picture yesterday.
You might want to explain that to people.
Okay, Aaron has a fear of loose strands of hair. Go ahead and send the pictures to Aaron at geekinthecity.com. He loves them. He collects them.
Can I just tell you this? I know we're getting dangerously off track here, but this yesterday we were trying to Google image search for pieces of hair to send to Aaron. But the problem is that hair, and we were trying like sort of narrowing terms too, like strand and clump and chunk and, you know, and like piece and whatever. We were trying all of these various search terms on Google image search just so we could isolate photographs of hair to send to Aaron. It was very difficult. Because you put hair into Google image search, you get all kinds of
weirdness. Weird stuff, yeah.
So Aaron has a whole. Wait, hold on, I got to stop. I got something on my teeth. Wait.
I don't want my hair sitting in your mouth.
Wait.
That's a long one.
And let me just make this final observation, Aaron. I don't know if I ever told you about this friend of mine.
I know what I'm getting him for a wedding present now.
It's a big box of hair.
Big clump of hair.
That's fantastic.
Maybe I'll tie the box in hair.
Gee,
instead of ribbons.
That's fantastic. Rick, this is from, let's see, subject line. Rick's gayness. Sounds like Rick is slipping closer and closer to his first exposure to that special kind of love between a man and a man. Maybe Byron will have a future column about this. Yeah, no.
You seem to enjoy the groping.
It's
last
not
night.
That.
If
no,
I can
no,
say, if
no,
I can say.
It's, now let's be very clear. But now look, I don't care what anybody. I'm an open-minded person, and there's nothing wrong.
Are you saying you didn't enjoy it? I really think that you like having a beautiful gay man like you.
A beautiful gay man like me. What do you think?
Like you.
Oh, you mean to be attracted?
Attracted to.
I don't really know. Look, I'm not saying that. I'm flattered at all that Byron seems to be wants to be my special pal. I don't really know. How do I put this? I don't really know that I am the exclusive object of Byron's affections. Byron Beck from the Willamette Week, and it's well documented on this program. Any opportunity for Byron to come up and sort of cup my buttocks, sort of like a cupping.
You told me to ask if you'd ever been cupped.
No, look, I'm flattered. I really am. Byron's a man with, he's got a certain amount of style and whatnot to him. I'm just saying, I think any port in a storm, you know what I mean? Like, if it wasn't me there last night, I think it'd be somebody else. So here's the thing about Byron and him coming up and groping me from behind. The thing is that, how do I put this without trying to make it, I'm just saying it's one of those things that I just sort of mentally prepare myself now for. I steel myself for it. So if I know that we're going to be at Dante's, we're going to be some place where Byron's going to be around, I just sort of, I get, it's like, you know what it is? It's like getting yourself in show mode. It's like getting yourself in game day mode if you're a football player. You're just sort of like, you do like, all right, we're going to win the game we know we can win, play the game we know we can play. And Byron is going to come by and touch my buttocks. And, all right, woo! And then you just go, and you sort of prepare yourself for it. So, all right. Oh, hey, Lisa Goddard was on hold. She was able to hear all of that. That's good. All right, so let's do one. Let's get this one call, and then we'll talk to you with Lisa Goddard. Chris, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, if you wanted to send a picture of a single strand of hair, you should have Sarah, take a picture of the top of your head.
Oh, what the... Okay, thank you, sir.
Hey, why don't I get the wah, wah, wah noise?
You're a bastard.
Because he's busy crying.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Yes. Okay, why don't you go stand in the back of Dante's and heckle Storm. All right, there you go. That's Chris. That was pretty funny. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now. It's so hard to segue into anything remotely approaching seriousness. From the Hill, increasingly embarrassed that she is a part of this program in any tangential way, Lisa Goddard from CNN. How are you, Lisa?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, it's one of those. I often wonder exactly how closely anybody, let's say you, is listening, on hold when you're waiting to come on, whether it's just sort of a blah, 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 kind of a wah, wah, wah in the background, or whether you're listening and wondering why it is that you're being asked to participate in such a horrific radio program.
On most days, I am sharply attuned, perhaps even taking notes. But today, because we're trying to follow what may be breaking news. So
oh, really? Okay.
Listening to some other stuff.
All right. So, well, now before I get any further, so what is the breaking news?
Oh, isn't it terrible? I can't tell you. We haven't confirmed it.
Oh, come on! You can't do that.
Terrible. All right. Well, I'll put all the cards on the table. MSNBC is reporting that there is a deal between the White House and the Senate Republicans, McCain and his group, Warner and Graham, on the detainee legislation that we've been talking about. But what we're hearing from CNN is that that's premature. That this deal is not all the way done yet. So we're trying to sort it out.
All right, so we will be among the first to first to know, right? With the power of CNN on our side.
MSNBC is wrong, right? but we'll see.
Do you take a special? Let me ask you this: do you take a special little professional pride when something like that, like when MSNBC reports something and then it turns out to be egregiously incorrect? You can be honest.
I think when I was working in local news, yes, I definitely did, because there was really a sort of cutthroat. There were a lot of people from other stations that were really just mean when you ran into them. You tried to be nice, and sometimes but then when they got something wrong, you secretly you're like, yes, I knew the day would come.
And
I think here at the Capitol, it's, I don't feel that way at all.
But you did a little tiny secret victory dance in the past.
I think I did. I might have.
All right, let me ask you this. Here's the thing. I, as everybody knows, I am unashamed, or at least, I mean, I don't go out of my way to hide my sort of partisan leanings or my thoughts on things. And I'm about as bleeding heart as they get. But I was reading this story, and it's one of those things that I get the feeling I'm supposed to be disapproving of, but I don't really know why. And let me just read this so I'm not accused of filtering everything through my, my mainstream media liberal bias. It says here, it's from CNN,
The House has approved a bill that will require people to show they are citizens before they can vote. The vote was 228 to 196, mostly along party lines, which, of course, means it's the Democrats who are presumably, theoretically speaking, the opposition party in the country. I get the feeling that I don't know, that if you're a liberal, you're supposed to be outraged by this and horrified, and I don't really know that I am. But so should I be? Tell me what to think, Lisa.
This is a tricky issue. I can connect you with many a House Republican that will tell you to be outraged. They will say, Rick Emerson, join me in outrage. Their argument, they say that this is essentially a poll tax. They say a lot of people who are poor, maybe they don't have cars. Maybe they don't have a driver's license. They can't afford the $100 for a passport.
But it doesn't even say that you have to have a driver's license. It just says you have to have ID, and that's free.
It has to be a photo ID.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay for a photo ID, do you? I mean, you have a driver's license, you would, but a photo... Look, let me tell you this. Rick Emerson is not a role model, but there were many years when the government determined that it was best that I not drive or be allowed to operate any sort of motor vehicle. And so, but during that time, I still had to, I had to fly on airplanes occasionally and do whatever. And so I had photo ID, and it said in huge letters on it from the state of Oregon, not a license to drive. And I don't think that cost me anything. If it did, maybe it cost me like five. I mean, I guess my question is like...
Well, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about $10-$15 for these general IDs, and it varies from state to state. And that's the thing. Republicans are saying, and there were some Democrats that voted with them, not many, but Republicans are saying, this is common sense. We need to figure out who's voting. We need to get that identification taken care of before they make it into the polling booth. But Democrats say there's no evidence that there are widespread numbers of people pretending to be someone else, because if you go to the poll, you have to give a name. They have the list of names, and so an illegal immigrant, for example, would have to assume the identity of someone else and use that name, which they could. But Democrats say they don't think that's happening very much. They say there's no evidence of it, and that they say what's going on, because this bill would take effect in 2008, is that the Republicans are trying to chop off as many low-income and perhaps elderly voters as they can.
Well, okay, but I mean,
but I think the real issue here, honestly, if this passes, I think the only real issue is going to be people who forget their driver's license and then say, you know what, forget it, I'm not going to go vote. And that could be people of either party, but you just need to decide, is that worth the trade-off as a society? Is that do we want to just get people used to the fact you have to bring an ID?
Well, I'm just saying, if we're going to preach to people constantly that voting is crucial and important, and if the government and the schools are going to continually pound into our heads that it's the single most important thing you can do as a citizen, it might be nice if they tried to ascertain that someone wasn't claiming to be you when they weren't. I mean, I have to show my ID when I check out a library book.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know, I'm not trying to be persnickety about it. I guess it's one of those things that as a liberal I'm supposed to be opposed to, but it does seem like there also wouldn't be a way to determine if it was being abused right now. I mean, that's the thing, right? If there's no ID currently required to vote, then by definition, of course there's no evidence that there's fraud going on, because there's nobody checking IDs. So
right.
I mean, so
that's right.
So if you just stayed home from the polls one day, if you, Lisa Goddard, you got hit by a meteorite and you were not able to make it to the polling place, Sarah Dillon lived there, and Sarah Dillon just said, you know what, I'm going to go and vote, and she goes and she votes for some guy in the American, reformed, emu party, and claiming to be you, then no one would ever know.
That's right.
So there you go.
That's essentially true. I think a lot of people agree with you. I mean, I think this is, but if you talk to especially members of the Black Caucus, they really see this as aimed at minorities. You know, and it's hard to say whether, what effect it really would have. And it is very hard to say whether this will really pass the Senate or not. These guys have just 1 week left. They've got a lot of stuff to do. And in order for this to become law, the Senate must pass it. And the Senate hasn't even blinked an eyelash at it. And you know, those guys take their time. So, and by the way, I just looked this up. In Oregon, if you need an ID card, you are not a driver, $29, my friend.
Is that true?
For 8 years.
That raises another, I mean, this is never getting off the subject, I suppose, but that also seems like crap to me. Not, I mean, it's not true, but it seems wrong, in that if you are a United States citizen, it does seem like it ought to be the government's responsibility to give you government identification.
Yeah, you could argue that's what our taxes should go for. But I guess they say, that they're going to, this is how they pay for making sure the DMV runs so well.
This is what happens when I stay out too late with the wrong sorts of people. I come into work and I get all cranky about these things. Hey, real quickly, let's pick up the room and the tone here just a bit. Let me ask you this: if I were to ask you to fill in the, let's play a word association game. And this is not technically something you're talking about, but I know that you are probably talking about it a lot anyway. If I were to ask you what the adjectives most frequently used today to describe Hugo Chavez were. What do you suppose they'd be in your part of the world?
Wow, I've heard despicable comes up a lot. I've heard what did Nancy Pelosi pulled out thug, which is not an adjective, but it has been used a lot ever since she pulled it out. Demeaning himself, we hear that.
Right.
Embarrassing himself. That's what we've been. Nothing really outstanding. I think thug was not bad. That was pretty good.
It is very interesting that about half the that packed house that he was talking to, half the chamber, that they were laughing at certain points. There was, I don't know if it's true, I heard that there was some scattered applause happening. It's a very, that guy's 15 minutes of fame are starting right now. So I got a feeling he really does. I got this whole thing where here's a little, you can use this, phrase. You don't have to send me any royalties. You can use this, Lisa. Hugo Chavez he appears to be sort of the Michael Moore of Venezuela, where it's just a whole lot of very carefully crafted, very carefully designed theatrical moments that are essentially put together for the benefit of the cameras. Like this business of giving heating oil to the people in Maine or whatever, which is obviously one of those things, you know, like Michael Moore having a bunch of guys with no voice boxes singing Christmas carols outside the home of the RJR, you know, Reynolds guy. So, I mean, I think we're going to be hearing a lot more of this guy. There'll be a reality show in his future, probably within the week or so.
Well, apparently he stopped up in Harlem and spoke to a crowd there and got a standing ovation. Now, I'm not sure who that crowd was, if that was actually the Venezuelan embassy employees showing up in Harlem, but that's his latest attempt to get on the news, and I think you probably will see that.
And it is really, I gotta go, but I would say it is very, it's disturbing, but I guess maybe it is in a certain level. But we were talking about this yesterday. We had these cuts where he was calling George Bush the devil, and he was saying that he was.
Yeah.
And I don't have the verbiage in front of me, but it is indicative of a whole lot of things that Americans. At least a lot of people that I talk to and a lot of people that we sort of know and a lot of people in the audience, so immediately embrace a guy for no readily apparent reason other than the fact that he basically kicked Bush in the teeth, figuratively, on camera. I mean, that really indicates, that is what a sad state of affairs we got in this country, when all a guy needs to do to impress us.
Embrace is really the right word.
I'm not,
you think so?
Not embracing, but I got to tell you, I got more than... It's a fine line to tread because, again, I'm not saying it because Hugo Chavez, you know, by all objective accounts, is, you know, that's not the most corruption-free government itself. So, I mean, that country's got it. Venezuela's got all kinds of its own problems. So I don't think anybody, I'm not saying he's a Boy Scout. I don't think anybody's saying that. But it is interesting and telling and depressing and fascinating and disturbing and all of that stuff that so many people we talked to yesterday, I lost track of the number of people who called in or emailed and they made some remark about, like, Hugo Chavez in 2008. I mean, really, and I mean, a certain amount of that is just sort of rabble-rousing, but I got to tell you, man, it really, and I mean this sincerely now, it resonated, whether in a good way, a bad way, whether it's just for today, whether they'll remember it a month from now, it resonated in a huge way with a lot of Americans yesterday that a guy got on camera and stuck it in George Bush's face. And I'm not saying that he's a good guy. I'm not trying to encourage
anything. No, I think this story for you, though, my friend, because I think truly, honestly, I think America is very disillusioned with our leaders and with Bush at the top of that list. But that's a problem for you because that means you have to be ever so more bitter.
Oh, well, that's easy. I got that covered.
All right. Well, good luck.
That's really my only demonstrable skill. So, all right, Lisa Goddard, thank you for tolerating my crankiness today.
Oh, yeah, anytime.
All right, Lisa, we'll talk to you soon. There you go. Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent on the Hill. You know, that woman's got guts. She really does. And you know why? Because this is not an easy show to come on. And I don't just mean because they got listeners asking about her footwear and because we're constantly making backhanded inquiries into her social life. Because you just never know what kind of mood I'm going to be in or the audience is going to be in or when I'm going to start talking about a guy who called George W. Bush the devil. And I mean... I don't know, maybe, probably not today, maybe tomorrow, maybe today. I don't know, we can talk about this Hugo Chavez guy, because he's all over the news again today. It's everybody, and you know that Sarah, you are a young, disillusioned American, you know what I'm talking about. And again, I don't think anybody, I will say, it's my blanket disclaimer in advance. I am not calling for violent uprising or revolution. And I wish George W. Bush a long and healthy life, as I do to all federal officials. And I encourage you to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and obey all laws. I'm simply saying this, though. That guy, I was talking to Chris Nevin about it, who writes that blog for OregonLive.com, and he's nobody's fool. That guy is a sharp tack when you talk about politics. And he was talking about how, you know, that there was this attempted coup allegedly engineered by the United States in Venezuela a couple years ago that Chavez just, like, put down and just stuck it right back in the United States and just told Bush to eat it. And, I mean, that really, people in America identify with a guy who tells an authority figure to go get stuffed. There's no dispute in that. So people can just send me all the email they want about how he's corrupt, Venezuela's a, you know, a dictatorship, and it's a corrupt oil, that all of these things may be true, probably are true. I'm just telling you the pulse of the American people, which is that a guy will get on television, you know, at the UN, and call George W. Bush the devil. I mean, you know what? I know what the American people like, and I know what the American people will buy, and it's that. That's it, man. And that's, as somebody once said,
that's,
I forget,
something different.
Well, and
you know, we hear the same crap. We've heard the same stuff out of George W. Bush's mouth for 4 years. It gets boring.
And not just out of George W. Bush's mouth. This is exactly the point I was trying to make with Lisa Goddard of my own sort of... I just sound so hungover and slurry today. But that's kind of the point I was trying to make, is that in America we have become, unless anything any of you don't know, we've become so acclimated. We have become so used to. We have become so... We no longer have any expectation that anybody will say what they really think or what they will really feel. And not to gild our own lily. That's not what I'm trying to say. Not to verb our own thing or noun, whatever. Not to wax our own car too much here in public. But that's why people love talk radio so much. Even a guy like our friend Bill O'Reilly, a guy like that, whoever you listen to. You know, that's why people gravitate so much to talk radio. Because in America, you no longer, when you turn on the television, you turn on the radio, you pick up a newspaper, you no longer expect to see anybody saying what they really feel. Ever. Ever. When is the last time you turned on the television, you turned on any sort of media that wasn't talk radio, and you had an absolute expectation that whatever you heard coming out of there was going to be the person's real observation and their real thought? You are no longer in America expecting anybody to say anything honest. You just assume that it's filtered.
The only
crap
thing that I could compare it to is that television show, Studio 60.
Totally.
When the guy has that 53-second
totally
rant at the beginning.
Totally, totally.
Oh,
totally.
That's the most honest thing I've ever heard.
Have you, now I gotta, this is gonna get us behind, but have you ever seen the movie Network?
Mm-mm.
Really? I had this whole thing. I was literally gonna come in with Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, which is a new Aaron Sorkin show. Debuted on Monday. And everybody was just, you know, going on. Was it Monday that it debuted? It's all a blur to me now, because I'd seen it before. And everybody was talking about that opening sequence with Judd Hirsch, where he's on television and he's talking about, you know, he's ranting about how television has become. I had this whole thing. I was literally going to come in Tuesday and, like, do this theater thing. I was literally going to get on my knees in the studio and prostrate myself before the audience and beg and plead with all of you to go rent the movie Network, which is what that is based on, which is what Studio 60 is based on, is Network. In fact, you can tell Sorkin, because he covers his tracks sort of too, because they reference the movie Network, mm-hmm, like 100 times. They do that whole thing
that,
where they're flipping through the channels, like, in a scene reminiscent of the movie Network. And because that is, this is how far I went, actually. I went so far as to record into my audio program the speech from Network that is based on, and I was going to play it on the air and be like, hey, if you like Studio 60, you will love Network, and to play you the Howard Beale moment that is based on. And then I didn't, because it is as cheesy, as sappy as it sounds, I didn't want to ruin it for anybody. I want you, because I got to tell, look, now I've seen the movie Network over 100 times probably. And I, after watching Studio 60, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Sorkin, it was time for Network to be, because people have forgotten about that movie, and it was time for it to be updated. It is completely fantastic that he redid Network that way as part of Studio 60. It was so great that he brought it to a new generation. But I watched Studio 60, and it gives me chills just now thinking about it. And so I was like, I got to bring in that Network speech so people can kind of hear where this came from and so they can watch it. Because Network is like 2 hours of that. It's 2 hours of a guy telling you, like, everything you see. There's a great moment in Network where Howard Beale is on television and he's doing the thing. He's like, I want you to turn off the television right now in the middle of my statement. You know, everything you see is crap. Everything we do here is crap. And it's a chilling movie, and I was getting chills just watching it as I was preparing the audio. Because, and I'm not giving anything away here, but I mean, the network, the whole spark for the movie Network is that a network news anchor, who's been told he's been fired due to low ratings, just has a meltdown on the air on his final broadcast. And it's just, and the whole movie takes off from there. And I mean, it's just, it's so, it's genius. It's so brilliant. And you were, but that's the point. That's why this Hugo Chavez guy, that's why everybody's latched right onto him. And again, I'm not passing judgment on him or his country or the way it operates or anything like that. It had nothing to do with that. I'm sure he's corrupt, as opposed to who. It's just that in America, you are so wrapped in just this gauze, you know, attitudinally in terms of the media, where you never hear anything that hasn't been run through 15 standards and practices department and a censor, and is it going to offend the advertisers, and is it going to offend the staff, and is it going to offend, like, the woman who stoops the president of the network, and is it going to offend some nutcase religious group somewhere, and everything is run through 500 different focus groups before it ever gets to your ears or eyes, you know, which is why it doesn't mean anything. And so everything is soft and rounded and rubberized and completely without form or substance and has no content to it. And you're never in danger of being offended by anything or running into anything that truly challenges you or that makes you think or anything, which is why when you see Studio 60 or you go back and watch Network or you hear Hugo Chavez speak or you hear somebody's pointed out Keith Olbermann, you hear Keith Olbermann's recent speeches on television, it's like being slapped in the face a little bit. And you kind of go, whoa, it's, you know, it's like just drinking milk, you know, every day. And then somebody gives you like a really strong bracing citrusy sort of beverage. And it's okay. But you know what I'm talking about? Suddenly you kind of go, whoa, ah. And you as cheesy as it sounds, you remember, I won't say the truth, because who knows? You know, like I said, Hugo Chavez might be full of crap, might be a shyster, I don't know. But at least it's somebody saying what they truly think. And you suddenly get that sort of sharp, coppery taste in your mouth of like, ah, there's somebody saying something they honestly think without filtering it. So, anyway, there you go. That's my long, endless... Now, see, now I have all these calls about it. Well, we should break. I'll tell you what, break. We'll come back. If you're on hold, hang on. We'll take these calls as part of the AM 970 Noon News Hour, which begins next. You don't go anywhere. Stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show.